I was excited. Here I am in the car. I've been listening to this podcast. I'll tell you how obsessed I was. I was immediately, let's just say the word smitten. I thought it was it was not what I expected.
That's Robert Pucciarello. He's the co-founder of a business called Gramercy Atelier in New York City. And as it turns out, he's our first super fan.
At the end of the podcast, you put a phone number in. So I texted you, and then I thought, this will be an indication to see how seriously they're taking their text messaging. How long is it going to take for them to respond to the text message? And there you were, like within an hour, I heard back from you. So a lot of boxes were checked before we even had our call. How about that?
Oh, that's so awesome. I was at a loss for words. People are actually listening to this show. I couldn't believe it. Now, once the excitement subsided, it was time to get down to business. This is Shoestring, the show where we help small businesses with big ambitions and tight budgets. I'm your host, Alfredo Salkeld. Now, Robert didn't just reach out to us to tell us he liked the show. We had another marketing mission on our hands. He needed help with his business. So I asked him to tell me where it all started.
The company has been around since 2010. We are makers of bespoke women's jackets and dresses. Bespoke is usually used for men's clothing. It's become more commonplace to hear this word now. You can hear the word bespoke real estate agent or bespoke cottage cheese. It's kind of funny how it's gotten out there. I think we were one of the first to be using it about 10 years ago. At least we feel that way.
Robert doesn't run the company alone. In fact, the brand centers around the creativity and skills of his co-founder.
To just think a little bit futuristically here, it's my wife. I'm on a call with Simple Texting folks. I'm going to put you here so you can listen if my wife is going to listen in. What I wanted to say is that thinking futuristically.
Maria started Gramercy Atelier with Robert and is the head designer. Before starting this business, she was the creative director at a high-end textile store in Manhattan. She was designing luxury women's jackets when one day the company decided they would no longer be making luxury women's jackets.
We were a little bit distraught, like, what is she going to do? You know, we could continue working there, but do something else. I said, this is a really interesting product. You've got this amazing clientele. Why don't we just put some money in and create a collection and do it?
And that's what they did. Maria produced her own collection of custom luxury jackets, and Robert used his expertise in business and finance to help run the company. Soon they had a loyal client base, but they hadn't really unlocked the growth they wanted.
And so I started running Facebook ads, and I would put jacket photos up there. Beautiful, like, super detailed, and crickets. Nobody really seemed to care.
Until they stumbled upon an underserved market in women's clothing.
We discovered this business called the Mother of the Bride and Groom Dress Business, which I never knew this existed beforehand.
I had never thought about this, but if you've ever been a mother of a bride or groom and had to find a dress, then you probably have. Dress shopping, particularly for this occasion, is stressful. You try on dress after dress, and the stuff on the shelf doesn't fit quite right.
I've had people tell me this. I've ordered 50 dresses online and returned them all. I've gone and spent hours in department stores, and there's nothing there. To box those, to put them on, to box them, to try them and get disappointed, it's a fatiguing journey. They hate it.
So Maria used her powers for good to solve this problem. She started making mother of the bride and groom dresses with the same principles she used for her jackets.
And we started posting pictures of dresses, and it's like a whole different ballgame. I was like, oh my God, I think we ought to be in the dress business.
They had officially found their niche, and they figured out a process that would work for anyone in the country, not just the clients who could make it to their atelier in New York.
We've been dressing women that we've never met, you know, in California, in the middle of the country where there's no product for them. We're dressing, I'd say, a demographic that designers aren't designing for. We're basically filling a huge void.
I'm going to tell you what I can about this process because it's going to come into play later. But there's some secret sauce I can't share. First, Maria gets on a call with the client to learn about their vision for the dress and create a sketch. After that, the client gets fabric swatches in the mail to select their favorites. And then Maria and her team create a prototype, send it to the client, make final adjustments over a video call, and send over the final dress.
Maria's the best. She really is. She's like incredible at what she does. Her vision for like the colors and just what she comes up with. And then just the customer service to say like, we got your back. You have nothing to worry about with us. I'm sorry.
Oh, he's
recording for a podcast where it's open-ended. So he's probably going to take a lot of this verbiage and parse it down into, you know, nice sound bites for people. My wife doesn't like when I go on, but there's a reason for this. Anyways, so can I throw some statistics your way? Because I can't help myself.
Please.
Thank God my wife dropped off. She hung up. She couldn't take it anymore. She's a designer. But there are 2.5 million weddings a year in America. So there's 2.5 million bridal dresses that are made. And we know this is a massive business, but 2.5 million weddings, that means there's actually 5 million mothers of the bride and mother of the groom dresses that need to be made.
Not to mention grandmothers of the bride and groom and all of the other women attending the wedding. Gramercy Atelier has an enormous opportunity here. But how can they convince people to buy a custom dress for something as important as a wedding over the internet?
What the mother of the bride wears is such a big deal you cannot imagine, because they can't wear white, they can't wear black, but they can't clash with the bridesmaids. After the bride, all eyes are on the mother of the bride. So they're under an enormous amount of stress to get their dress right. What we offer, though, you never go wrong ordering with us. Why? Because it's going to fit you perfectly. It's going to be exactly what you want. And it's going to be the exact color that you need.
So if Maria's design and process is the perfect solution to this stressful problem, then what's the issue? Well, it comes down to filling the funnel and getting people through it. When a lead comes to them through word of mouth, as most do, then they make a decision right away. They have a need, they've heard of the business, they trust them, and they make a decision. The hard part is finding new customers through channels other than word of mouth. Robert has had some success with Facebook and Instagram ads.
So we started to run lead ads on Facebook and then other types of ads to a landing page. And in both cases, there was a form that had to be filled out. And so we got the vitals, name, phone number, email. And then we started to ask, when is the event date? What is the budget for the event date? Where's the location?
He's generated hundreds of leads this way, but a large portion of them drop off before booking a phone consultation. First, Robert tried nurturing these leads through email campaigns.
I set up a 10-step email journey, and to be frank, they open the emails. There's a 60% open rate through the email journey, and I get no clients from it. Maybe one out of thousands.
So then he tried to move people towards a consultation with Maria in a more direct way.
So I tried phone calls, and it's just, you know, for a fashion company to call you up on the phone after you filled out a lead form, even if you need the thing, you can feel this distance. It didn't feel right. If I was a roofing company and the roof has a leak, I could see that, but not with a fashion company.
Phone calls didn't feel right. So now Robert's trying texting. Maria already texts clients during the design process. So Robert thought it would be a natural step to set up automated texts that thank leads for filling out the form. The text he set up asks, is there a date for the wedding? And around 20% of people reply. Good, but not great.
I feel like there's a need. People are raising their hand. They see the product. They say they like what they see. Then there's like this chasm between that moment and them submitting even to a free consultation. I feel like we might do 15 or 20 of these a month. My goal is to get to 50. And once we get to 50, then a lot of things change for us.
At this point, I felt like I had a good sense of what we were trying to do here. Help Gramercy Atelier attract more qualified clients and increase their conversion rate. I called the Simple Texting marketing team together to brief them on our mission and share what Robert had already tried. First, we looked at the ads Robert was running. They featured beautiful photos of a model wearing Maria's designs. Almost too beautiful. If I hadn't known these were real, custom-made dresses from talking to Robert, well, I'd be skeptical. Here's one of my team members, Danny.
It looks too professional almost, too cookie-cutter.
If I saw this, I would not actually think that this was a bespoke thing. I would think they found this stock photo. We fleshed out some ideas of how we would change the ad creative to show Gramercy's process, and I shared those ideas with Robert. The resounding feeling was the photo is so professional that if I hadn't spoken to you and I got that ad, there'd be a piece of me that thinks somebody stole a designer's photo off their website and now they're running it to me and they're telling me it's bespoke. And so I think there's an opportunity to tell more of a story in the ad creative itself. So for example, you probably already have a bunch of little clips or pictures of the sketches. I think a really powerful ad would be Maria telling the story of how a dress was made. Here's how we went from sketch to fabric to finished dress. And I think that's letting the person into, wait, if I fill out this ad, this is what I'm going to get. Like this whole customized process versus I think that right now the ads are just showing that final result. And it's like doing the whole journey of what of the experience and injustice.
I think you're right on, actually. It's something we've been considering. I think, Maria, aren't you doing something along those lines with the new pattern maker in a way? You're showing the process a little bit. You're doing miniature. I'll show you some of these videos we started to do in the studio. Maria is now taking, it's almost like a miniature mannequin. It's showing like the embryonic phases of how these dresses come together, but it's done on a miniature because it seems to be getting a lot of eyeballs on Instagram.
As a non-designer, the thought of how does this all come together feels magical to me, right? I have no idea how it's done. It's entice. I would watch this ad, right? Like I would, if I saw the miniature and then a flash of the miniature and then a flash of the fabric and then, you know, Maria talking over it saying, here's how our process works. And then here's the final dress. And it's like, holy shit, that's the real thing. And it came from all, that's how it was made. I think that would encourage people then as they go to the texting phase, they're even more drawn into it. They're like, I want to go through that. What Gramercy is selling isn't just the dress. It's the whole experience of having something made just for you. And that experience is the end to this emotional and oftentimes frustrating shopping process. Sarah Wolfson, another member of our team, had just experienced this shopping process firsthand with her mom.
I actually just went Mother of the Bride dress shopping with my mom. My brother's getting married. And I mean, I think the truth is, like, if you are a mother of the bride, you're probably in your 60s, 70s, maybe 80s. And it's not a time where off-the-rack clothing fits you nicely. Like, I think that what we're all getting at is, like, this feeling of reveal more of the behind-the-scenes process. That's where a lot of the attraction is for these custom things, right? So show us a little peek about how you solved somebody's problem.
We tossed around some more ideas for how they could show off the problem they solve in their ad creative and build trust with these leads in the process. You could collect the moment someone's unboxing their final dress or coming out of the bedroom having tried it on. There's probably these little magical moments that are happening all the time between Maria and the clients on calls that if even just a portion of those could be recorded, I think that would also make really good ad creative. And it's just more powerful than a written testimonial, right? You're really seeing somebody's reaction.
Good point. We've thought about this. Some of the things you're bringing up here, we have thought about, but we haven't really. You're articulating it in a way that's getting me inspired because it's pretty obvious what you're saying in a way, showing the magic behind the product creation or showing the reaction to them. Maria, she does a lot of these by video. We make these prototypes first before the actual dress. And there was recently a customer we just sent out to. She's very stylish. And I looked at the prototype in the studio that was going out to her, and the prototype was executed so beautifully. It looked like the dress, but it wasn't even the dress. It was just this cotton prototype, but it had the pleats and the folds and like all these details. And I know this customer well. I've known her for a while. And I said, oh man, when she gets this, she's going to flip. And sure enough, Maria had a video call with her. It said, well, what do you think she's wearing? And she's like, she's really flipping out over it. So that would be cool, capturing that moment.
Ad creative is just one piece of the marketing puzzle. You can make the best ad in the world, but if you show it to the wrong people, it won't work. Or even if you show it to the right people, but at the wrong time, that won't work either. So getting the audience targeting perfect is hard. What if there was a way to get Gramercy Atelier in front of people who are already looking for a solution to this problem? You're targeting such a specific moment in their lives that the chances of hitting an audience that they're all kind of timed perfectly and in market is low, right? You're probably going to be hitting people who aren't quite ready to buy or just curious, or they don't have a wedding. It's not quite the right moment for them. So part of my thinking was, is there another way that they could build up a more in-market audience? And so I think SEO could actually be an interesting tool for you. So I started doing some really preliminary keyword research.
SEO, for those who are unfamiliar, stands for search engine optimization. It's basically the process of improving your website so that you show up in search results on Google.
There are quite a few keywords that have some decent volume that really the competition is low. Nobody's trying to rank well for these keywords. The landing pages that are out there aren't very good, but there's custom mother of the bride dresses with 170 monthly searches, custom made mother of the bride dress, 110, custom made dress, tailored mother of the bride dresses. And this is just a few keywords that I found just to prep for this call. But I think there's probably a lot here that between you and Maria, you could discern which ones make the most sense.
So that's good work. I'm a recovering SEO, so I've done some of the research. I would love to talk to you about landing page optimization. That's a great idea. I think your thesis is a good one. I think you're onto something here that I had not considered, which is targeting bottom of the funnel, backing it up. And what you're basically telling me is that we could just create a much larger funnel than what we have right now. I mean, it's really interesting to me that you even come up with this. So that's quite fantastic.
If when people Googled custom mother of the bride dress, Gramercy Atelier was the first result, then Robert could retarget those visitors with these new ads we're suggesting. And those people would be more likely to buy than a cold audience. We had some ideas for how to keep people who land on the website engaged too. Here's Tim, one of our designers.
I was also thinking like maybe a quiz to kind of gauge their dream dress, get them engaged, get them interested in the process a little bit more with like dress style analysis, ask them which fabrics they like, which styles, dress sizing. And then on that page, there can be some reinforcement like testimonials and stories, stuff like that. So it's more of an interactive process right off the bat.
I also went down the quiz route. It sounds like the sketches really help, but they also take some time. So they don't want to waste Maria sketching on low quality leads. But if she did like 20 sketches that are answers to the quiz, where you fill out this quiz and it says, thanks for your answers, we're going to get back to you, and even add some delay. I don't know, Sarah, if this is real, but I've heard that in products, there'll be like a loading screen that's fake, but just so that the user feels like something is like, this is important. Something's happening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We call it UX theater. Yeah. It's a real thing. I mean, you're writing a story, right? And if you imagine it like as a film, sometimes you have like the slow zoom, or you have the quiet music in the background leading up to something. And so it's the same thing. You're just deciding when to use that as a tool to build up some anticipation.
What Sarah called UX theater, Robert had a different name for.
We call it the orbits effect. You know, the airline, you would go for your airlines or like Priceline, and then they have the thing spinning around. That's cool.
There are a bunch of plug-and-play solutions online that let you create quizzes like this and capture emails and phone numbers in the process. This would help Robert build his list of interested leads. So far, we had covered how to find bottom-of-the-funnel leads, engage them with the website, and then retarget them with better ad creative. Now it was time to share ideas for how to improve Gramercy Atelier's texts, the ones that are meant to turn leads into customers. For context, here's the first text people get after they click on an ad and fill out a form. It says, Samantha from Gramercy Atelier here. Thank you for filling out our form online. We have received your information. Is there a date set for the wedding? We saw some opportunities to improve that first touch so that it's more enticing and educates people on Gramercy Atelier's process.
So I think in that first text, it's useful to say, hey, Samantha here, and just start right off the bat with, here's a little bit how our process works. You're going to chat with a designer. We're going to send you fabric swatches. You'll get a prototype. And then you'll get your dream dress. So now they know if they were to sign up, this is what they're getting. And then I like the idea that you've been doing, which is, do you have a date for the wedding?
And then if they respond and it makes sense to keep talking, you can say, got it, that's coming up soon. Our process usually takes 3 months. Would you like a custom sketch? Most of our clients find it's a no pressure way to figure out if we're the right fit. It's free and takes about 20 minutes. And I think that kind of lighter touch and encouraging them of like, this is up to you. It's free. It's a no pressure thing. Now's a good time. And if not, say, you know, it sounds like it's a little too soon to start moving forward with the dress. I'd be happy to check in with you in a few months to see if we can help. In the meantime, why don't you go to our Instagram and find some inspiration? Well, let me stop here and just see what are your initial thoughts, and I'll keep going because I've got a few more messages.
I'm a simple guy. I love simplicity. And what you're doing is you're making like a binary decision tree, which I love. I really like your wording here too.
And then let's say they don't respond or it's not the right time for them. They're 2 years out, whatever it may be, whatever time length you decide isn't quite right. We were thinking through what could more nurture texts look like. These don't need to feel like they're necessarily coming from Samantha typing them out. They know it's a drip sequence. The idea here is that these leads coming from Facebook ads may not be ready to buy. They may be curious and think the dresses are beautiful, but it's not the right time, and texting back and forth feels like too big of a commitment. So instead, we're suggesting to periodically send them information about Gramercy Atelier's process so that when they're ready to buy, they'll know exactly who to go to. I showed Robert examples of texts that would work for an automated sequence like this. The first one was an idea that Tim came up with.
Text them a side-by-side of like that initial sketch and the final dress, because Robert was saying in the call that the sketches are the money.
And then beneath that side-by-side image, it could say something like, this is Grace. She tried on 50 dresses, just took a short phone call with our designer Maria to come up with the sketch. From there, we were able to create a prototype and adjust until it's perfect for her. Browse some more inspiration here. Reinforce the process yet again. Here's how this works. Here is what we do. Here's some inspiration. No call to action. Like, this is just a touch so that they remember what you do. Next in the drip sequence was a text with an image of a person's hand touching these colorful fabric swatches, the swatches that clients receive when they move forward with Gramercy Atelier's process. You mentioned the swatches were really important, that people really love getting the fabric. And say, it's so hard to get a feel for materials and fabrics online. That's why we send sample swatches before we get started with the prototype. Ready to get started on your custom dress design, reply to this text or click here to book a call. Again, it's like, yes, there's a call to action, but it's also just reinforcing, here's how it works. Here's how we're like, this is another little thing that you would get if you were to go through this process.
Love it. I really love what you're doing here. Oh, that's cool. That's great.
We walked through a few more ideas for texts. Some of these were informed by the SEO research we had done. Looking at that SEO content, there's probably a goldmine there of things people are curious about, like what should a mother of the bride dress look like? Does it have to be long? Can it be a little shorter? So there's probably content that you could make around that and then link to that within the text. Just these like nurturing touches until at some point they're ready to move forward.
I mean, I love it. It's you guys, you know, I actually didn't know what to expect for this call. I'm not going to kid you. Not that I didn't think you had the competency. That isn't my point. I actually was just sitting here thinking, well, I've tried a bunch of things. I'm curious to know what you're coming up with. I think what you've come up with is it's deep. It's really well thought out. I'm really impressed. I mean, my mind is kind of racing because I can see. Yeah, it's not exactly, it's a little bit raw. You know, I still need to polish it a little bit, but the nuts and bolts are there. And I think it's great.
There's probably things here we got wrong. Hopefully there's one or two things that you'll find valuable and can try out.
It's marketing, right? We're taking risks all the time, right? I mean, you got to take the risks to see what's going on, but I'm impressed.
Want to find out if Robert gave the ideas a go and whether or not they worked? You'll just need to subscribe to the show so you don't miss a future check-in episode. And if you want to see the slide deck that we shared with Robert, head to the show notes for a link. We want to help your small business too. Text us at 954-419-3657. We read every text. And if we think we can help, then you'll be on a future episode of Shoestring. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a review. It means a lot to me and the team, and it helps other people find the show. Shoestring is a podcast by Simple Texting. It's written and edited by Danny Henyon, and me, Alfredo Salkeld. Simple Texting is part of Cinch, the customer communications cloud. Learn more at cinch.com. That's Cinch with an S, S-I-N-C-H.com. And if you want to try Simple Texting, you can do that for free at simpletexting.com. Thanks for listening.